This is White Mountain Rescue, part two of the campaign we've titled Without a Trace. We are going to pick up where we left off. We're down west this week, so Dallas will have something happen. We'll see what happens. We'll talk about it. Let's take a quick review of our first responders and the current situation. So we have an active rescue right now, which is the lost camper, Paul Foster, has not been heard from in a couple days. His family wanted to do a health and wellness check up on him. And while investigating, you've come across some weird things in the woods, like stairs. But, you know, everyone knows about the stairs. We just don't talk about the stairs, and we definitely don't go up or touch the stairs. Probably don't even look at the stairs. And we still are no closer to finding out Paul Foster, but the question is to discern if he's alive is complexity 8. We have 7 clues. So we're pretty close to being in the, I mean, you could attempt to answer it now with a -1, but you know, we're almost right there. let's take a look at where our various first responders are. The medic, Roderick Lopps, is currently in the woods with Dallas, about to very quickly be without Dallas. The ranger, Mike Hesters, had descended a set of stairs in the woods after a possible poacher went up them and was not seen again. And Sergeant Hank McBride split off from a couple of Forest Service workers who were looking for, who were like marking trees for beetle borers. You have split off from them to continue off in your mission. Condition-wise, Rod has the buzzing, Mike has broken toe, and Hank has expecting the worst and too old for this. I will remind everybody that in White Mountain Rescue, unless a rescue becomes an overnight affair, like a multi-day operation, you cannot do the vulnerable move during rescues to clear conditions. The only way you can clear conditions in those cases is by resolving the rescue, because you're not off the clock. The pressure is on. You have a job to do. You can't shake off the things that are getting to you while you're on the clock. So in order to start clearing these conditions, unless Paul's rescue goes well into the next day, let's hope that you're able to complete the job and go home and call it for a time. But for now, let's pick up with Sergeant Hank. I'm gonna pick up with you first, because you had split off from the two Forest Service employees. Doing what exactly?
I was heading back to the trail where I last saw Dallas and Roddy. That's where I was going.
Very good. All right. You're going to continue up the trail. And
actually, I think I might use a move as I'm walking up the trail.
Please. What move?
I'm going to use the, what's it called? Expand the search. Because now, since Paul Foster's camp was not where we thought it was going to be, and it's looking like we actually can't find him, because we thought we knew where his campsite was, and it wasn't there. So expand the search once per rescue. I can request additional support from Force Supervisor Dave Embargo, and rolling with presence, I can get, if I do well, we can get a lot more either deputies or park rangers or volunteers to come help us expand the search for Paul's.
You know what I'm going to say then is that you had started to walk away from, what are their names? Larry and Charlotte. When the idea comes to you, you double back and you ask them for their satellite, their boosted signal to plug in and make that phone call. Yeah, you go ahead and ring up the station. I think let's cut away from this scene for a quick moment to instead see the interior of the Forest Service offices. Let's see. Yes, the headquarters, the White Mountain National Forest headquarters in Camden, New Hampshire, with the Forest Supervisor's Office, Information and Visitor Center, Facilities Dispatch, Search and Rescue, and other operational offices. We see a desk phone ringing, corded, obviously, even though it's the modern day. And picking up the phone, we see a man pushing 60 with a full head of salt and pepper hair, wearing a short sleeve button down shirt with a dark green tie. He has got various well-organized reports and forms on his desk that he's been signing as he picks up the phone and says, "Go for embargo."
Hey, Dave, we're out here. We're out here on that that health and wellness check that we came out here this morning. The team.
Yeah, yeah. Paul Foster, I recall. Yeah, I hope that's all going well out there. Hey, look, Hank, while I have you on the line real quick, before I forget, where is your mileage log from last month? We need to stay on budget, and it's hard for me to do that if I don't get your mileage sheets in on a timely fashion, right?
The thing is, right, I'm on one of the conservation crew's phone, and so I don't.
Okay. Yeah, no worries.
It's one of these satellite phones, so I don't know if I have time to go through that. But
all right, well, you tell me what the situation is, and let's see what we can do. Go ahead and roll your move.
And I've got my two conditions. Expecting worse and tool for this. Is one of those going to come into play?
I think either one of them could arguably come into play here, one with interacting with David's bureaucracy and also just the case itself. So, one, yeah, you'll have disadvantage unless you mark an item.
No, I have his personal cell phone, but I'm not going to use it.
Yeah, so roll with disadvantage.
I'm kind of excited about it.
Yeah. Plus your presence, which is a whopping zero.
I wish I could show you guys this. Maybe I can't. I don't know if I can.
Oh, no, yeah, it immediately cuts out. Yeah.
Three ones.
Oh, my God. The worst on a miss, some other crisis, the weather or lack of funding prevents embargo from sending help. But this anger fuels your composure, adding plus one for the duration of the rescue. I think, oh, my goodness, this is fun. I want to with three ones, it needs to be suitably terrible.
I'm so excited. Yeah,
this is fantastic. This is real bad. Let me think on this for a moment. Let's cut over to Mike. Mike, you've descended the stairs. You're alone in the woods. No sign of that weird gentleman. What are you doing?
Well, I have to presume that the forest has eaten another person. And I can't.
You have
them.
To? You have I to assume that?
I have to assume, like, a person I saw disappeared right in front of me, and feeling the brokenness of my toe, I know that there's been bear traps in the area. They weren't there before, and that person seemed the most suspicious in terms of laying them out, so I assume that the person got eaten by the forest because, like, they disappeared. I don't know where they ended up. They could be dead. They could be alive somewhere. I'm hoping it's the latter and they just teleport away. But I think I need to go back to the river and away from these stairs because the stairs are very scary.
Yeah, I think that's an entirely fair assessment. I was about to say, like, you have to assume that. But honestly, no, the ranger as a playbook makes the most sense to assume that the forest would have eaten someone. The ranger has seen a bunch of weird shit. Yeah, very good. Let's see. I think, yeah, you're going to easily be able to, with a bit of a limp, walk back out of the woods, towards the edges of the stream. Let's see here. I'm just checking something real quick. What's interesting is that as you're, like, walking through the woods to get back to the creek, you can see the creek up ahead. You can hear the stream running. You know the way. You spot something you didn't spot on the way in. Mm-hmm. It's very subtle, but you notice it. There's a section of the forest that as you're walking through, you notice has absolutely no undergrowth, just a very thick layer of a vibrant green moss. That's just a fun little detail for you.
You say that's fun, but I have to go investigate that.
Okay. How do you investigate the moss?
I think I look around for a stick. And I
there are, you are in the woods. I assure you, there are many.
Yes, like a decently sized one, not like like a tiny one, but enough to like I could stand like a good couple feet away and poke at it to make sure like there's no like other types of belongings, because moss like to grow in wet areas, and like I imagine like anywhere that's bright green, there is either water or some sort of food or resource. So
yeah, you know what, let's have this, why not, let's have this be the rescue move, the search move plus your, I think reason would make sense in this situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do that plus reason. I don't think broken toe would apply here.
Fuck, it's a six.
I'm having the most fun right now. Okay, I'll narrate what happens first. On a six, you poke at the moss. You prod at the moss. It's very mossy. And indeed, quite wet. Like, it's you don't remember anything about, like, a significant level of, like, rain in the area. Or, like, you know, nothing comes to mind. This doesn't seem necessarily unusual. It's just, huh, like, what a interesting place for a large patch of moss. I think as you're poking and prodding at it, you hear a sound in the woods that, you know, you think you hear a scream, but it's very faint and far away. So when you look up, you look away, but we, the audience, see like a small like hand reach out of the moss, grab the end of the stick, just wrapping its hand around it, and then yanks you in. You go through the moss like quicksand, and you come tumbling down a set of stairs in another part of the forest entirely.
Oh.
And it will go into the dangerous move immediately unless you want to use a crown.
I've already used two crowns in one session previously. I'm going to hold off to not like... So let's go. I'm getting kidnapped.
You've very interesting. I'm very excited to see when you might introduce the never seen anything like this before move into things as well, because I'm curious about that. But for now, very good. We will cut away and go check in on Rod. Roddy Lops. Rod, you and Dallas ran into the forest in search of that really fucked up looking deer. Dallas is out, I assume with camera, just trying to like go after it. What are you doing? Like I assume we see Dallas, I'm like running around and you alongside, but is Rod doing anything in particular?
I'm trying to keep track of the deer visually, because I know if I lose it, I will not find it again, because I do not have actual animal tracking skills. And I assume Dallas probably doesn't either. They could surprise me, but and so I'm trying to keep track of Dallas and the deer at the same time. And so I'm constantly splitting my attention between them and trying not to just absolutely eat shit running through the forest.
Yeah, that makes sense. This feels like the risky move to me. Ooh. Yes, absolutely. What are you afraid of happening here? I think we established eat shit. Like
yes, eating shit.
Eating shit, that's fair.
But also running... into something more dangerous, not for me, but for Dallas, because like by myself, I'm pretty sure I can handle it, but I'm worried about like losing this person in the woods and it being my fault. And that just seems like a whole mess of paperwork.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go ahead and roll plus your vitality. No disadvantage.
All right. And so just to remind, I roll two dice, add them up, and add one for my vitality,
yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Seven.
Okay. Oh, okay. Could be worse. It's bad, but it could be worse. On a seven, I will remind everyone that you do it, but there is a complication or a cost. I have a very fun idea, which is you do keep the deer in sight, but it's very far ahead. It's a little more than like a brown smudge between the trees that you're able to spot and kind of just keep focus on, not letting Dallas get ahead of you or behind you, just kind of keeping your focus on the moment. And as you are just like booking it alongside, you can hear the buzzing still, but it is overrided by just the blood pumping and pounding in your ears and the sound of your breath kind of tuning out the world around you in that like soldier's focus kind of way as a former military man. And let me check something very quickly. Oh yes, and as Chaotic has reminded us, don't forget to mark two new end of session questions. We have to do at the top. Yes. Yeah. Okay. What is the moment? Because I want to get your read on this, B. What is the moment when, against all reason, all logic, suddenly it's nighttime?
Oh my god.
And you're alone. Tell me what happens with that.
I'm running and I'm and it feels very right because I feel in my element despite the fact that I'm chasing a deer, not a person, or not going somewhere in particular. And then I blink and I open my eyes and it's dark and it's quiet. And I'm alone. And I stop and look around and blink again. And I just rub my eyes and try. And I'm like, is this some sort of medical episode? Am I having a stroke? No, it's dark. And I look up and try to see if the sun's blocking out the trees. I try to find a logical explanation, and there is none.
There is none. But that's still somehow not the most disconcerting part of this whole thing. You're somewhere new. You're in a campsite. A fairly new green and gray tent nestled between two huge trees. A stone ring has a small campfire that looks like it was put out by water within the last day or so. And various packs are suspended from a rope to keep animals out of food. Here's a paint-the-scene question for Paul Foster's campsite. What items do you find in the camp that suggests Paul planned on being right back?
Oh, shit. Okay, go ahead, please. You have something better than I have, because I don't have anything yet, Chaotic.
Okay. The food is mostly kept up above the ground. However, there is, like, a little campfire and, like, some wood has been and stones have been set over it. And, like, there is a pot that is ready to boil, or would have been if it was still lit. But it never got a chance.
I'm going to say there's, like, a fleece jacket that's hanging on the entrance to the tent. Like right over the entrance, like they took it off and hung it up and we're just going to put it right back on.
I think very he nice. Left his water bottle there and it's open.
Oh, very nice. I like that. A little bit of strange moss growing on the top layer of the water almost.
Gross.
Yeah.
Moss. Ooh, sus.
I think also It would only be fair for you to take a condition. How is Rod feeling right now?
Very unmoored from reality.
Take the condition unmoored from reality.
Shit.
Let's check in real quick again with Sergeant Hank on the phone with David Embargo from your 111 role. David Umbargo just says, well, you know, Hank, I would really love to get around to that. Unfortunately, can you, you know, at the time of year, can you believe that the thaw, the spring thaw is causing, there's been flooding on the main trailhead. It is basically a mudslide up there. And then not to mention it, it is the like a 23rd annual, celebration of the, like, you hear something like sounds like him turning papers, like, of the Robinson's family donors barbecue up at the Castle Point Park. Everything's all just sorts of clogged up, and we've got about a few of the dispatch officers coming in there. I can really do my best, but honestly, between the mudslide and you know, we're also just getting reports of a fire starting. Everything's just gone wacky over here.
There's no flooding here. The brook here is fine. But call the county sheriff's office.
Oh, you know, funniest thing happened with the county sheriff's office today. Would you believe the lines are down? But
you can email the
Hank. You know, I prefer to say over a call what I could say over an email. You know, it's just Hank. We had this conversation last month about how as a department, we are losing the human connection to each other. I mean, the outdoors used to be so much more than emails and paperwork. But I mean, hey, the paperwork is just as important.
We're talking about this kid's life up here. We can't. It's a mess. We've got to get more boots on the ground. You know, like in the old days, boots on the ground. Get everybody up here. We can do a.
You know what, Hank? You are right. You were right. We are.
Thank you.
The Forest Service. We make do. We do what we can. We always get our man. No, that's the Mounties. He says. Tell you what, it just so happened. Lucky for you. I just looked this up. We've got two Forest Service employees out in that area already. A Charlotte and a Larry. They're standing right here in front of you. Yeah. Oh, you already know them. Great.
Yeah, I do. I do know. I do. Right. I have met them.
Another win for the Forest Department, Hank. Another win. Look at us. A well-oiled machine that is economically friendly. Or ecologically friendly.
Could you call our volunteer hotline and get Steve and those guys with
Did you know Steve's in the hospital?
What?
Oh yeah, real bad food poisoning from Chang's. Yeah.
I won't forget this, David. And I hang up.
And B froze. We lost B. I think David Umbargo was too bureaucratic for B. Incredible. So that is your miss. Are you gonna keep that? Or are you gonna keep that? All right. My boiling hatred for David Umbargo manifests in me just playing him as the worst.
Well, since this is like a move that I paid for, when things go bad, I want like a silver lining. So that's why the rage gives me.
Exactly. Yeah, I like that. Let's see. All right. Well, you hang up. Sergeant Hank, you're standing there as Charlotte and Larry just kind of like look at you. They could hear the whole conversation. They just kind of like Larry just kind of gives you like a meek thumbs up like, hey, you're muted, by the way.
No, you guys just you keep marking your beetles, your trees, and I'll get the rest. I've got a crew up here. We'll see what we can do. But If you do see Paul or any sign of Paul while you're out here, you know, just let us know, okay?
Charlotte says, "Of course, Sergeant. We'll keep our eyes out. It really is no trouble. We were pretty near the tail end of our job for the day. We can keep our attention on the
because if we lose you guys, you know, then it's just gonna turn into a big giant mess just because our supervisor won't get off his ass and call the sheriff's department. It's like he has to have the right form in order to and he like kicks him like a dead log, and just you guys don't get lost."
Larry just calls after you. He's like, "Will do, Sergeant," and you stomp off. Mike, You have inexplicably been yanked through a patch of moss and find yourself tumbling down a set of stairs.
No! Oh my god!
These are... a set of... It's a small stairway. It's 8 steps that's been carved from just a giant boulder leading to nowhere. On the edges of each step is an interlocking pattern that is reminiscent of like a Celtic knot. And you just take a hard tumble down these steps. This is a really, I mean, in addition to the condition I'm going to throw your way for how you feel, this is going to segue immediately into a dangerous move.
This is just a very no good day for me. I don't really have any other way to describe it, because like how can I think about how I feel as I'm literally just falling down these steps? Like,
you here? Take the condition, it's bad. But let me ask you this: in this general situation, facing something quite terrifying, what are you afraid of?
I'm honestly afraid of those hands that initially took me down through the moss. I don't know how large this creature is. Like, as I'm tumbling, I do not see where it's connected to. I don't know what is going to happen to me. And this is going to be a very interesting creature. And I hate that.
It's worse than that. I think honestly, and this is a kind of a fucked up one. Let me look at our little safety tools real quick on the topic of medical horror.
Oh, I'm good with that.
Yeah. It's worse than that because this is a wild one, but it's all like it's occupying every corner of my brain. Mike Hester's, for inexplicably, maybe due to these stairs, you've developed a brain tumor.
Oh God!
That
weird,
you know,
weird consequence, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. And you know that is the severity of that. We'll see. That's all that's sticking in my mind for some reason. Just yeah, go ahead and roll plus. I think composure, honestly, just to like in the face of such a weird and severe situation.
Okay, that's better. That's a 10.
Okay, very good. Go ahead and narrate the present scene as you arrive someplace new and survey.
I think as I'm just bouncing down these steps, it's dark. It's night. Or am I underground? I don't know.
But I think let's say that it's nighttime, and this will reconnect you with Rod. We'll mm-hmm. You'll be near Paul Foster's campsite, but like mm-hmm. spatially. So yeah, go from there.
Yeah, I think as I am going, finally hit the last step. Like I'm like face full of dirt, leaves like crushed against my face, and like I'm just pulling myself back up and taking a look around. It's a bit cooler than it was before, not like ice cold or anything like that, but I'm not exactly sure where I am right now because there's just trees out before me, like, and it's just quite dark. I don't know how much time has passed as I was falling down those steps, but it makes sense. This sort of thing. I've seen it before.
Hank, you've arrived walking up the trail at Bear Spring Brook, knowing, indeed, you can see Mike's ATV is just parked up along the stream. But there's no one in sight except for one man in his late 30s with camo patterns, a Vietnam boonie hat, ammo belt and box that's empty, no firearms on him. He's just kind of like sitting on a rock by the stream's edge, looks a little pale, looks a little... excuse me. Looks a little sickly, maybe a little like shocked or confused. Hard to say. What do you do?
I'm looking around for Mike, and I see the guy, and I kind of wave at him, and I say, "Have you seen the law enforcement officer that was on this ATV?"
He like jumps almost out of his skin, like you terrified the life out of him. He is like bone white, pale, sweaty. Looks very disheveled, and his eyes are wild as he like snaps out of and sees you, and like scrambles back for a moment, like he is not sure where he is, and like seems like blink rapidly as he comes to attention. Goes, what? Sorry, you scared the living hell out of me. What'd she say? Sorry about that.
It's Forest Service. We're trying to find a. Camp, are you camping here, sir?
Yeah, kind of. I live not too far. I live nearby. I come in here to watch birds and critters. I had to set up a little place, but sorry, what?
Are you high right now? Be honest. You seem a little. Are you high right now? Have you been smoking the marijuana?
No, sir. No.
Okay,
no.
Just checking. Just checking. It's New Hampshire. It's legal. But you seem a little discombobulated, I think is the medical term.
Yeah, there was a ranger, I think, who came by.
That's probably Mike. Now I'm going to shout Mike's name, and I don't want that to startle you because it's going to be kind of loud. So, if you want to cover your ears, you might want to do that, sir.
He's gone. He's gone.
Well, no, he's out. We're looking for a camper by the name of Paul Foster.
He told me that he was look. Yeah, he told me.
Right.
No, you don't understand. He's gone. He's gone. He's gone. He disappeared.
Do you
he
have
vanished.
Some water? I think you may need some hydration.
I don't know where my fucking camp went. It was I had it up in the tree atop some stairs I found, and then I was taken. He wanted to come see my campsite, so I took him up the stairs. And when I got to the top, he wasn't there, and he was just fucking gone. And then I started to hear.
Those stairs are a safety issue, and I have filed a grievance with the Forest Service on behalf of all campers. It's just not safe having these stairs about. So I'm with you on that. What was your name again, sir?
Devin.
All right, Devin. Hold your ears, because I'm going to yell for Mike.
Okay.
Mike!
Yeah, yell out. It just echoes out into the vast wilderness, and... it returns with us the sound of like a faint, like a buzzing, very, very almost like cicadas, but like very muted. It's like just faintly interlacing the background. And Devin just begins to go, no, 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 no.
It's these beetles. We've got people on that too. Let me assure you. Maybe you should head back down this trail. There's an office down there and they can get you hydrated.
Sprints, like gets up, scrambles, and just runs like a feral animal, like back to the trail and booking it away from here.
Could that be crystal meth? I'm not for sure.
What do you do?
I'm trying to think where Roddy and Dallas were headed. And if Mike's vehicle's here, his ATV, and he's not here, then I'm going to continue up the trail, assuming that's where they are.
Yeah. You want to go ahead and just roll the search move. I think this would be plus composure. I mean, just focus in the job. Unfortunately, you are pretty stacked with all of this, so this will be at disadvantage. But you do get that extra bonus plus one, which is
plus
nice.
Three might pull me through. Let me do the math. That'd be close. Shoot, I think I might just go with the plus three.
Yeah, do it.
What's the chances that I roll all ones again?
Right?
Not too bad. All right, the lowest, my lowest ones is a one and a three. So that gives me a seven. So we'll take that.
Yeah. Clue with a complication. I'll give you your clue. Let me review the clues we have so far. Okay. I think on the hike up on the trail, you notice two deer off in the woods are moving around, very standard nature area, just, you know, walking through the underbrush and or the just the surroundings. And but it kind of catches your eye because they keep like looking up and looking over their shoulders towards something to the north, like they're alerted by a sound. Then they kind of like freeze and they go back to what they're doing and then move. And then surely it happens again. Like something keeps getting their attention, but you don't hear or see anything. That's your clue. As for your
I'm assuming that's either one of our guys or Paul, maybe.
Maybe. As for your complication, I'll get a bit. I can't really think of anything other than to give you a third condition. So here's what I'll say. I'll structure it like this.
I think I'm gonna, you can save that one because I think I'm gonna bump, I'm gonna use a mask and like avoid the third comp.
I was gonna say that some weird gut feeling happens, like a dream or something, but no, I like that. Yeah.
I haven't marked one yet and I feel bad that Mike's getting all the
grounds. You go ahead and mark ground.
I'm out of the forest.
Very cool. Then that's just a clue. Putting us at 8 for the question of, is Paul Foster still alive? Let's take a quick break while B is getting set back up and see what you all want to do then. And then it might be time to answer the rescue question once we get a few more actions on the table and see where things go. And we're back. Okay. So now that we have B back, Mike is about to reconnect with Roderick. So like, we're going to have that in a moment. Yeah. So Mike, you've narrated that of what happened as you've tumbled down some stairs into a night forest. I'd say you can see through the tree line, like movement up ahead. I suspect Rod has like a flashlight that would have like clicked on to like look around. So you can see that there's a light source up ahead, Mike, in this weird environment you're now in. What do you do?
I am going to slowly make my way towards the light source because I have no idea what it is.
Roderick, as you're looking around the campsite, you hear a twig snap and like a shuffling, like a slightly like dragging gait, like a step, step, step. Like there's almost like a slight limp to it. And as you spin around and shine your flashlight towards the noise, blinding Mike, you see Mike Hester's.
Oh, holy shit. Oh my God. Oh, and I put it, now it's pointed towards your torso, so I'm not completely blinding you. Sorry about that. Oh my God. Mike?
Yes?
Okay.
Roderick.
What are you... I was going to ask what you're doing here, but, like, I'm just relieved to see a person that I know. Mm-hmm. Are you good?
Not really. The stairs are getting more aggressive.
Oh, shit. You know, we ran into some with that. Have you seen Dallas?
No.
Ah, shit. All right. Well,
Have you seen a guy that's all in camo?
no.
Have you seen any bear traps?
No, I think they were pretty well hidden. Have you seen any weird deer?
Mike is totally silent at that.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna take that as a no. Get your ass over here. Come on. Kind of ushers you closer to the campsite. I don't know what's go I'm gonna just sort of not all that shit aside, I think we found our guy or our guy's place. So that's a plus.
I'm not entirely sure where we are.
I thought you could tell me that. You kind of like know shit about this. Is this
Spatially,
spatially?
because technically I did fall downstairs while at ground level.
Mike, why were you on the stairs? I thought that was a rule.
Well, to be fair, the stairs did have hands.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. Well,
I don't want to talk about it.
I don't blame you. That's, you know what? You know what? That's okay. We're gonna pretend that didn't happen, and you tell me what you think is going on because you know your shit here, and kind of out of my depth.
Well, also throw out there for consideration that B, Rod's wilderness first responder move, if you treat Mike's broken toe and continue to like monitor his situation just by like probably as long as you two are paired up, Mike gets to ignore that condition as long as that's
Ooh,
fulfilled. Yeah, so like you can see that he's a little injured and has a little bit of like a hobble going
All right, while you talk, come on, sit. Sit.
on.
What happened first?
Well, there was, do we really have to talk about it? I
Yeah,
don't.
we'd. I mean, I meant more like, why are you limping? You don't have to tell me
Oh,
the what
okay.
outline.
Well, there were bear traps.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know it, like, and this guy in all camo, I didn't get his name because he ran off, because I was trying to say that you should not place bear traps this close to the trail and
Poachers
whatnot.
do that. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, and he led me to his camp, and then he ran up some stairs, and I chased after him. Thankfully, survived those stairs, but then there
Good.
was mossy stairs from the ground that attacked me.
I thought they were just sort of chilling there. I didn't think they could do. Okay, wow. You know what? We're just gonna get your foot. I'm just gonna check out your bear trap injury, make sure there's no sort of You haven't taken your boot off since that happened, did you?
No.
Okay, yeah, we're gonna just check that out. Well, yeah, we're gonna do that. So, how do I do this
I think it
move?
just happens. Like, just
Oh, cool.
narratively,
That's what
we
I was thinking. I
establish
was like,
it.
do I have to
Yeah.
roll anything?
No, I think you just establish it.
Sick.
You
All
also get plus one
right.
composure when you're in the forest, which is fun.
Right.
That's very useful.
And I am
Yeah.
going
So
to mark one of my three things on my
you
first
don't
aid kit. Do
you don't
I?
need to.
I don't
No.
have to?
No.
Oh,
It just
sick.
it is just that's you can mark it up to three times for advantage, but for this move you just yeah, you can you
Sick.
it's just narratively for free. Yeah.
Oh wow, I
Yeah.
love free narrative
Yeah.
stuff.
The condition's not cleared. It's just basically like you allow them to ignore it for as long as you're able to still like be alongside them and help them out. Which
Right, fabulous.
yeah. So you help them out. And
Awesome.
Mike, you're feeling a little bit better. You know, it could be worse. It's bad, but it could be worse.
It's no, it's sincerely, it's bad.
But I cannot stress this enough. It could be worse.
It always could be worse.
I don't want it to be worse. Since I think like as I'm sitting there, I'm taking a look at camp, considering like things I've gone throughout the day. Could I just take a look around here?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like.
I won't say that your condition would get in the way of this. So it is plus reason with search move to look around Paul's campsite. And Roderick, if you want to do the same thing as well, like search the campsite, you can also roll. I'd say that you will have disadvantage from
Yes.
the whole unmoored from reality angle.
Absolutely.
And chaotic, you do have you do have your never seen anything like this before move. If you want to
Yeah.
invoke one of those uses,
Yeah,
extra clue.
I want to
Gotcha. All
invoke that.
right, regular clue or mountain clue?
Technically I have to roll first, I believe.
It just you just you get you either find plus one clue, so it's like you could find it on a miss, I believe.
Yeah, it's just the order of operations with like you make the search move and then this move triggers afterwards.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, at least that's how it reads to me. Otherwise, you can invoke the move
Fair
never
enough.
see this before without having to roll at all.
All right, fair enough.
And when you do disadvantage, you roll three and take the lowest two.
Yep. Unless you
Okay.
mark an item to mitigate
No.
that.
Because I got a nine.
Oh, okay, not bad. Clue, complication. That's not bad and could be worse.
Not the worst. Mike.
I'm glad I'm invoking never seen this before because I'm rolling a three.
Woof.
Total? Oh no.
Jesus Christ. The woods want you to die. Oh my God.
Mike's having a day.
Okay.
Bad.
Yeah, this is what happens when you go on the stairs.
Oh my God. Retitling this campaign to Mike's No Good, Very Bad Day.
Yeah, apparently. I'll give Roderick his clue first, looking around the campsite, and then we'll go talk about Mike. As for your complication, with a nine, I'm gonna keep it very simple. I'm gonna, as a complication, it's a soft complication, but it's still a little juicy. Even though it's technically like, no, actually, I changed my mind as I was saying it. Never mind, ignore that.
Okay,
I'm
okay.
gonna, you know what, on a nine, I'll say that things are bad enough. I'm not gonna give you a complication on this one. I'll just
Oh
keep
my
it.
God.
Yeah. This is
Oh,
like a
come on.
nine.
You can do it. I don't care. I like bad stuff.
No. I just feel like on a nine, I'm like, I can't really think of anything narratively to escalate here when you also have a three looming in the background. So
The
maybe I'll just
complication is Mike.
the
Yeah, maybe I'll
complication
just catch
is Mike. You'll
some
catch some air
I'll
winds
catch
of
the
Mike.
backwind,
Yeah,
yeah.
you'll catch the backwind of Mike. Yeah, you'll get a clue. So let me go ahead and give that clue to you. Where are you searching around the campground or the campsite?
I imagine wherever Mike isn't, because Mike probably was the because I was busy treating Mike, and so I probably took the lead after Mike was like, "Hey, let's look around and actually do something useful other than standing here."
Fair enough.
So where's Mike looking?
Yeah, where is Mike looking?
Well, there was that bag of stuff hanging above the campsite, so I wanted the trying to get that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Amazing.
Then I'll check his tent.
Okay, you go into the tent, looking around, you find, let's see. I think you find drips of what look like to be dried blood inside the tent.
Oh shit. I think Mike hears Roderick say that out loud,
Mike, you're
actually.
climbing a tree to get down that
Oh my God. If you say so.
Yeah, with a three, I think I will say so. At least getting up to a decent vantage position on that. On a three, I'm overdue for a hard reaction, honestly. Like, I really am. I'd like you to first, because as per your move, you get plus one clue, but there's like a thing about it. Like if you could read that out loud for us.
Yeah. You have seen it all from two-headed dogs to woefully unprepared campers, but really odd things have been popping up every time you enter the wilderness. Once per rescue, you may either find an additional clue, and you have to describe what makes it slightly odd, and it cannot answer the question by itself, or find a mountain clue for one rescue that is determined by the keeper. This option can only be chosen three times.
Are you choosing a regular clue or a mountain clue?
A regular clue.
Okay, then you don't need to mark it.
Oh.
It's only the mountain clues that you can do three times.
Okay. Mm. Okay. That makes this mechanic make more sense. Okay.
Okay, so you get to narrate what you find and what about it is slightly odd. And then I'll tell you what happens after that.
I think, like, I get up into the tree and I'm tying like this sort of thing, so like it just falls on down, and I think inside what's odd, taking a look at safety strip.
Yeah, well, fair thing is, let's check the safety tab before we narrate something is always my favorite thing to do in a horror game.
That's a great prelude. Okay. It makes me excited.
Yeah, B, okay. You missed the reaction where I said, yeah, it's worse than that, you'll get a brain tumor. Like, I was like, I had to check the medical horror rules.
I think it hits the ground with crunch, and I think from the bag it starts to leak this black liquid, and I think because I don't know. Because I'm going to keep it there because sure. I'm still up in the tree and I may just fall out of the tree. I don't know.
But here's what happens. That drops to the ground and you kind of like look down as the black viscous ichor begin to like seep out of it, and it's like glossy and you can like see, like if there were moonlight, you'd be able to see it like reflecting in the pools of darkness, but there is no moonlight. There's just a darkness overhead. And as you begin to position yourself to climb back out, this is where in the episode where like it would be like the camera pans slightly and there's a jump scare because we see a extremely tall figure obfuscated in shadows reach out and grab Mike and yank him higher up into the boughs, and Mike is dead.
Oh my god, that is the hardest reaction I saw from a search move ever. Okay, I have to...
Holy shit!
You rolled a three!
Oh my god.
I felt like I needed to do that to Daniel earlier, but I couldn't justify how Sergeant Hank just dies in the middle of the forest on a phone call. He just has a heart attack! Bureaucracy induced heart attack.
You're right.
It wasn't a search move though, so
yeah. Okay, I'm going to mark the shadows grow deep because this feels thematic.
You're after during a vulnerable move that you initiate or participate in. You must also narrate how something eerie and otherworldly subtly reveals itself in the scene. Very, very appropriate. Very appropriate. Instead of that happening.
I do find another clue.
You do. We do pan over. There is that jump scare that you almost like that, like you like fall out of the tree, but manage to like grab yourself and hang there. And it's nothing. There actually wasn't a figure there. Actually just looked like it for a brief moment with the darkness in the branches, or at least maybe it's hard to say. But your other clue you'll get is, let me look at the clue list. You actually see dangling from this branch for a moment in the bark of this tree. it catches your eye. There are three horizontal lines that have been cut into the bark, almost like cut, like maybe like a symbol, but it's, you just, it kind of like, you catch that before the branch would snap under your weight. You don't take a hard fall. It's you, but I'm going to give you the condition sprained ankle.
Oh my God.
Mike cannot go anywhere fast.
No. Oh no. I think we are now sitting pretty at 10 clues. 11 clues. I think it's time to figure out what happened to Paul Foster, if you guys would like to answer that question. Let's do it. And then some interesting things will happen, and that'll probably get Sergeant Hank back in the mix. So the question is Paul Foster still alive? Complexity 8. Let's review our clues. A deep buzzing sound that only Roderick hears. The Hilliards heard a human or maybe a bobcat scream. A broken Samsung cell phone, probably Paul's. A small cairn of river stones. A leather belt wrapped around a tree trunk. A rusted anchor just in the middle of the forest. A flock of birds taking flight from a ridgeline. Animals keeping distracted by something to the north. Drips of dried blood in Paul's tent. A food bag that pours out a black liquid. And three horizontal lines carved into a tree at Paul's campsite. Do we need a minute to discuss some theories? Or does anyone want to just leap into it? What do we want to do? Take a break? Take a...
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right, cool. Let's take like 5, and y'all can discuss some ideas. So we'll be back.
Okay.
Okay, I see all clues used up, so I want to hear what you guys have been cooking on.
Okay, well, we believe that Paul Foster is still alive. May not be for long, depending on how fast we can find him or not. But we do think he's like located towards the north, with like all the animals getting freaked out and whatnot. But however, all the weird and strange stuff that's been showing up, like, we think he's severely disoriented because he ate some weird-ass mushrooms. And that's why there's black liquid coming out of the food bag. Because, like, they're not exactly safe to eat. They may have been rotting themselves. So, yeah, there's that. Does anyone else want to hop into this explanation?
Yeah, I think so. I think
do mushrooms rot?
Yes, they do.
Okay, gotcha.
They get gross and weird. And all those like the markings, the belt around the trees, the various stuff like that. He's trying to like ground himself in reality into the same space, because we think he kind of got like shifted away from his campsite the same way Mike and Roderick did, and that's why he's so freaked out, and that's why it looks like he was about to like just pop back in. And I think Daniel had some good stuff.
The big anchor gave him the idea to like ground himself in reality. So he started doing things like tying his belt onto the tree and stacking rocks and making hash marks. And the blood, I think, in all this, him frantically trying to get back into reality, he injured himself somehow, and that's how the blood got into the tent. What about the buzzing? What did we say about the buzzing?
The buzzing is more of a red herring. This is because the mountain is fucking weird and is trying to lure Roderick probably to some stairs, if we're going to be honest about that.
The buzzing could just be indicative of a sign of dimensional shift stuff that's happening. Like, clearly could be a factor, yeah.
Especially since, you know, Roderick just kind of got, like, shifted dimensionally. You know, so
Roderick and Mike, yeah.
And just sort of poor Mike. The stairs and the buzzing, they're probably just feedback.
We don't fucking talk about the stairs.
We don't, yeah. And we did, and this is what fucking happens.
Yeah. In general, just the Hilliards hearing a scream. Yeah, that's Paul.
Okay.
He's just scared.
Makes sense. Broken phone is Paul's phone, I'm assuming.
Yeah, he just dropped it.
Makes sense. What did we say the deal with the anchor was again? I missed that.
It's because he was high and he was trying to ground himself in reality. He saw this Well, he was high and he saw this anchor and he's like, I have to ground myself in reality.
We're saying that there's a sign on that anchor somewhere that indicates Paul was here. He's been, okay, gotcha. Love that. That accounts for all 11 clues. Whoever wants to make the roll will 2d6 plus 3.
It's not
really,
me.
Really good.
I think
our veteran, yes, Sergeant our Hank, who has been having arguably the easiest time, but like...
He's had to deal with most bureaucracy, and really, that's the real evil.
I've got a 3 and a 2, which would have been a failure, but with the plus 3 gives us an 8.
An 8. Reading the move here, on the rescue move, on a 7 to 9, the answer is correct. The opportunity may be pursued. However, the keeper will add an unwelcome complication to the answer, and or pursuing the opportunity will be more dangerous. I mean... Yeah, like as per the actual rescue text here, there's a thing that happens anyway if you find Paul. So this applies quite well. I feel like, first of all, let's cut away back to Sergeant Hank for a moment, because to establish, I think Sergeant Hank, when you had like gone off into the woods, just like looking around, you found Dallas. Dallas has gone back towards the main parking area. But I think in that exchange it's just like, yeah, they lost full sight of like Roderick just like just full like disappeared, like they Dallas is probably heading back out like to like not like wander deeper in, like, you know, looking for Mike. So you probably sent Dallas back towards the parking lot, get back on the trail, and you're pressing deeper in the woods. How do you bump into Paul Foster?
I think I probably see Paul disheveled and kind of like almost like a wild man, but I recognize him from his driver's license or something. And I see that he's like not well.
Yeah, he's a younger man, but he's got beard stubble and just dark circles under his eyes, very disheveled and disoriented. Yeah.
And I'm thinking about Devin, who I thought was, you know, high. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, he might have bought something from that Devin.
Yeah, he bumped, like, Paul Foster bumps into you and, like, wild and disheveled. He's like, who are you? Where am I? What day is it? What day is it? What's going on?
How many fingers am I holding up, son?
Two.
That's good. We got to get you back. We got to get you back down to the trailhead to your truck. Your parents are worried about you. I think we found your phone. We need to get you out of here. You just follow me. I'm headed that way.
As you say, I'm heading that way. I feel like over with Mike and Roderick, there is a sudden sound of like shifting, like a like vast ancient tree boughs creaking slightly as you just watch the canopy of the forest shift from night to like day. It's just like the movement of the sun reorients itself back to wherever it was, and you don't see anything, but it sounds like everything is moving around you for a moment, and you feel like surrounding the camp, the trees don't look the same. They look like different trees, or they've repositioned or moved. Hard to say. It's almost like it's suddenly a very different place, or everything has shifted somehow, but at least it's daytime. And then moreover, cutting through the tree line, you can just barely hear the voice of Sergeant Hank. You're muted, B, just so you know.
I'm muted?
Oh, you were just mouthing. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yes. And just Roderick just is like, oh, holy shit. The entire time the world is shifting again, he's just like, oh, God, oh, fuck, oh, no. And, like, looking at Mike, like, making sure Mike is still there the whole time. But as soon as he hears Hank, he's like, oh, my God, thank you. And just, Mike, how good... Holy, did you just fall out of a tree?
Yes.
Are you good?
No.
Damn it. Okay.
But I And like I'm trying to get up, and like I'm just like grumbling the entire time. I'm limping even worse than I was before.
Oh God. Okay.
We're still gonna be moving it.
Okay.
We're not
Well, and
staying here. This
God, Jesus
is the
Christ.
stair situation.
Roderick goes up and like puts an arm under Mike's and like helps him sort of like not have to put all the weight on, I guess, whatever foot is worse. Whichever one's worse. I mean, I guess I could sort of fireman carry you that you might not find that pleasant.
Like I don't know how far away we're
I
from
don't know
touching.
why.
So
Okay.
yeah,
You just move. You just
let's just
move.
get the hell out of here.
Sergeant Hank, as you're talking to this very disoriented Paul Foster, rapid sounds of movement and coming into visibility, you see Lops kind of supporting a very like disoriented, well, disheveled and hurt looking Mike Hester's.
I say, Mr. Foster, these folks are with me in the Forest Service, so don't get too startled. Everything's gonna be okay.
Does this match the description of Paul Foster?
Yes.
Okay.
You two come up, I assume. Yeah,
Yes.
we'll play.
Did you fa Is this Paul Foster?
What have you two been screwing around out there? Come on. You're gonna need your ATV, Mike.
Yep. I think looking around, I'm able to reorient myself, because I'm closer to the main road and whatnot. Yeah, it should be towards that way.
Yeah. Hey, Dallas is back in camp. Dallas said you got lost, Roddy. That does not
Oh.
look good for Dallas to find his way back, and you did too. So
I mean,
it's everybody gets a point.
as
So let's keep
honestly.
moving.
Yeah,
Oh God.
we found Paul Foster's campsite, so
It wasn't where we thought it was it?
no.
No.
Paul, come on, you should probably from here on out camp close, just camp in the campgrounds. It's a lot safer.
Paul Foster's like, I don't think I'm going to be camping anymore.
Oh, don't let a one bad experience ruin the whole thing for you.
Oh God. Starts crying. Like he just starts breaking down. Yes, helping Mike limp back, you get out of the tree line back to the stream. You see your ATV, there's a problem.
Oh, God.
The stream between you and the ATV is suddenly quite engorged. It is grown in size and is moving quite angrily. And
David
Sergeant,
mentioned this on the phone. Yeah, David did
oh
mention
my
this.
God.
I feel bad now because I yelled at David Embargo about
No,
flooding.
don't feel bad about yelling at David.
So there
He
is a
deserves it.
engorged creek between you and your ATV.
Oh fuck, okay. And I'm pulling out one of my maps to
If only we had a fire hose.
It.
And like I think like there's like on the map there is some points of like the diversions of the stream of like when it's flooded and versus when it's not, because
Okay. That's cool. I'm gonna say I'll say risky move. Not I won't say that's like inherently risking your life, even though there are other circumstances that are making this very complicated. I think I really like the approach of using the maps to like actually like I'm a goddamn forest ranger. I know how to navigate this stuff. I think that'll be risky. What are you afraid of happening?
That regardless of the spot I find, it's still going to be too much flooding for me to cross.
That's absolutely fair. even with it's bad and sprained ankle, I actually don't. I actually won't give you disadvantage because. So if you want to mark the item for advantage, you'll get that.
Yes.
I think this to me this sounds like reason of figuring it out, unless you wanted to argue composure.
Yeah, that's not going to help either way because I rolled a 4.
With 3 dice on advantage?
2, 2, and 1.
No! Oh my god, throw these dice in the trash.
Oh my god. So Mike gets, like, begins navigating the stream and gets, like, there is a sudden, like, surge. It's like the flooding of the river in Fellowship of just, like, a sudden, like, rapid surging of flood water just crashes over Mike Hester's, sending him tumbling ass over tea kettle, splashing into the waters, like, trying to grasp, and is being effectively drowned and dragged downstream. Now we're going to move into the dangerous move for Mike Hester's as... I think very clearly, what are you afraid of happening here if you should fail to not get this out of this stream?
Drown?
Yeah, it's worse than that because your skin will still be usable by something else.
Oh, no. Oh, oh, oh.
What?
I think because I do have it's bad and sprained ankle, I'm going to have disadvantage.
Absolutely disadvantage, yeah.
Super disadvantage.
I do have a very large net.
You do?
Yeah, can we help Mike? Is that a thing that is, like, mechanically available for us?
There's not a help move. However, I will say I'm willing to now, if Chaotic agrees to it, putting the fate of Mike Hester's in the hands of Sergeant Hank doing this move, as opposed to you getting out. So it can be, Hank. And then just obviously there's a complication being that those complications still stand, would be that Mike drowns, but and it's worse than that. But it would be being handled by Hank. I'm fine with that if you are.
Yes, I'm fine with that because it's less likely that Sergeant Hank will get to Spanish.
Then in this case, I will ask Sergeant Hank, are you trying to be fast or are you trying to keep cool under pressure and act level-headedly?
So I'm going to go with acting cool and level-headed because the reason why the net is even ready and not in my pack is because I've been thinking this whole time Paul is going to bolt into the underbrush. And I was planning on using the net to capture him, to keep him from running off.
I like that.
I've had my hand on the net with an eye on Paul. Although he seems like he's more sticking to us than I thought. So, but then as soon as we see Mike, you know, ass overhead into the water, I'll fling the net.
Okay. I don't think expecting the worst would be, you quite literally expecting the worst is what prepared you to have this net in the first place. So it's not going to be a disadvantage. And I don't think too old for this would apply here because quite literally this is your job. This is a situation where it's like you are expected to act and save lives. You're not too old for this. So I feel like it's going to be, if you mark the net, it will be advantage plus 3.
Okay.
And he gets a 4.
No, I got a 2, a 3, and a 4, so the 7 turns into a 10.
10! Nary, what happens? You succeed.
Yeah. Like I said, because I'm so mad. When I'm pulling you in, I'm like, Mike, gotta lose some weight, man. Oh, gonna get a hernia. Pulling you out of this. Let me mark that.
Mike is successfully rescued from the engorged stream. I will say that with that past, there is a recession of water, a window of time to just quickly get across, like, you go. Mike, you can get to your ATV.
Mm-hmm.
You can put Paul on the ATV as well if you're ready to, like, to kick up dirt and get the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to just go off. Sergeant Hank and Roderick, what is your plan here?
I'm eager to leave. So
we need to check some things out first.
Okay.
There was a couple folks from the conservation department here tagging some trees. I told them to leave a long time ago. If they didn't leave, it's on them, right?
Okay.
And so let's just make haste and walk with a purpose, Roddy.
That it, yes, please.
I think we see the two of you hitting the trail, moving with purpose. Camera slowly pulls back, just slowly, until we can see Charlotte and Larry dangling from two tree branches in the forest that are just slowly pulled up into the boughs. And let's wrap up the rescue with Paul Foster is brought back to his vehicle. You can make any calls you need to. Roderick, you can give him a once-over, and you are able to see him safely return to civilization. And thus, that rescue is considered resolved. Now we get to go into the Out of the Woods phase. But before we do that, we do have one crown prompt that was marked last session that is for everyone. Because we also have some, like Mike marked some stuff as well. We have some ones on the table, as I believe a Hank marked one. We have the Crown of Loneliness on the table for everyone to narrate, which is each first responder narrates a flashback to when they truly felt alone and whether or not this was a positive or negative experience. So think about that, because I'd like you to narrate that for sure at some point during the Out of the Woods phase. Let's talk about the Out of the Woods phase. This is our first time doing it. We probably won't get through the entire thing. I'll just do like the setup for it, and we'll do the crowns, and then we'll let when we play next and Wes is here, because it would be nice to have Dallas involved in the Out of the Woods phase, because this is kind of like connective tissue between rescues. Out of the Woods phase. Between each completed rescue, there's an Out of the Woods phase where we see the team outside of the search and rescue. In this phase, players are able to access both vulnerable and rationalization moves. We'll do the rationalization move here in a moment. The unsolved unseen, as well as describing what their characters are up to in their personal and professional lives. After the rationalization move with Supervisor David Umbargo, the players may have a few scenes each during the Out of the Woods phase where the team members can focus on their personal lives and interactions without being immediately in danger. Alternating between the scenes of the team members being out of the woods, the keeper introduces the unsolved unseen of past unsolved missing person cases tied to the White Mountains and such things. So we are back at headquarters after this rescue, where you are going over everything with National Forest Supervisor David Umbargo. Let's paint the scene about the headquarters. The search and rescue office is a large room with 10 or 12 desks in rows and a couple small offices for team leadership. Describe each team member's desk and how it reflects their personality.
Do we describe each other's, or do we...
I think describe your own.
Okay. I'm going to say Hank has a small corner office, and it's cramped full of filing cabinets. Everything's digitized, but Hank still keeps all these hard copy of folders, and he rarely uses his computer. And what we see, there's like a cork board, and it's got postcards from Florida and other, like the Caribbean and other places. He's got pictures up there, and I don't know. I think it's cluttered and it's cramped, and it needs to be cleaned out. But he's not had it. And when I do my crowns, we'll work in this Florida stuff more.
Chaotic, did you have something for Mike?
Yeah, okay. I think Mike's desk is also a bit of a mess. It has less note-taking mess sort of related things, but rather just jars of stuff that he found from like either from the forest or he brought from home. Each jar has been labeled with its contents in it, and has like sort of like a sticker, like there's green stickers, there's yellow stickers, and there's red stickers. is not urine. I think one of the jars says yellow viscous mushroom liquid, and I think like there's been like a Sharpie underneath of it. It's like this is your urine, and like it's been crossed out, and like it this is one of the more well-written things, and it's just a mess. So people keep on like touching his stuff, because they think that some stuff is labeled wrong, and Mike is certain that it has been labeled right. A lot of the jars with the green stickers are from home, and like he just has like a jar of salt. Some like silver filings and just like a bunch of like su supernatural defenses mechanisms. Like, so yeah, Mike is a believer and he's very concerned about this force.
Love that. I think in contrast to Sergeant Hanks and Mike's desks, Roderick's is like super organized. In like a way, like he's got it's like always cleaned off. It's a little bit neurotic, but there are like various field guides, which a bunch which with a bunch of those little sticky note like tabs, like various guides to various things. A lot of it's on his computer. Certifications that he's never really hung up are like stacked that he's like, the kind you have to like to print out. And a lot of it's a lot of that. It's a lot of like it looks like preparatory. It looks like a college student's desk almost because of the amount of like study stuff that he has. And that's clearly all he's doing in his downtime. Some of it is like for IDing like plants and stuff. Like, and he's probably taken a whack at Mike's jar collection, like looked at it and tried to figure out if it's like correct or not without looking at the labels. He has no fucking idea. He can't tell. This is weird shit that Mike collects. Whatever. And he's like, okay, that's your thing. It's a weird hobby. But no, I think that's what we see at Roderick's desk.
Amazing. Let's talk about the rationalization move. This is the most X-Files thing ever, honestly. After you complete a rescue that was directly related to the supernatural, the group explains how your supervisor, National Forest Supervisor David Umbargo, tries to convince you that the whole thing can be easily explained. Work out the details as a group, and then the team member with the highest reason, Sergeant Hank, rolls with reason. On a 10 plus, the fabric of reality strengthens and the weirdness encounter does not appear in future rescues or for the rest of the game. Players may clear one condition each. Related to the rescue, 7 and 9, same as above, but the first responder with the highest sensitivity or lowest reason if there's a tie will alone continue to experience the weirdness associated with the rescue. On a miss, no one clears any conditions, and the weirdness will keep showing up in future rescues. So yeah, this is kind of like a theorize with no theory, like with no clues. It's just like, all right, how is everything rationally explained? Because for me, it feels like it all just comes down to mushrooms.
It comes also secondarily, Mike has a concussion, so like it like Mike is just Mike's weird sort of disorientation can be explained with that. The stairs are actually genuinely dangerous. They're very slippery, they're pretty gross. There needs to be a little bit more effort to keeping away from them, especially with like various campers and whatnot. So like I think the Mr. Embargo is going to like be putting up signs in the future.
Yeah, there's actually a little like fun prompt example that I directly applies to this because of some stuff Hank was saying, which is like, yeah, like maybe there's an increased report in like drug dealers in the area and like hidden meth labs. Just it's like it's drugs, man.
Yeah, it's just drugs.
And, you're
Clearly.
muted, Daniel.
These mushrooms have spores, and we must have breathed some of those in. I'm going to start wearing a mask in mushroom season.
Clearly, that's what happened with, I mean, Roderick and Mike were at Paul's campsite where he clearly got exposed. So they got exposed. So none of this, that's,
Yeah, Dallas didn't see anything weird.
Dallas didn't see anything weird at all. I'm sure
And
Dallas didn't say shit about the deer.
and then hey, David Embargo's like, it's like, well, Hank, I warned you about the flooding. See, this is why we treat the spring thaw seriously around here, Hank. We gotta
you did.
All right, Sergeant Hank McBride, you can roll plus your reason. 2d6 plus reason.
I got a 6 plus 2 is 8.
All right. Who has the highest sensitivity?
I do. Technically, I have the highest sensitivity with the lowest reason.
But, yeah. Oh, so...
Because the medic also has a 1.
But, yeah.
But they have a higher reason.
Yeah, so that means Mike Hester's will alone continue to experience the stares throughout the campaign, which extremely fitting. But you all get to clear a condition related to the mystery or related to the rescue. Go ahead and think on that. Stepping away for 1 second. I'll be right back.
Okay. Oh, poor Mike.
I'm thinking I'm going to clear broken toe because that did get taken care of with Roger Collops.
Yes, and broken toes, the only way you take care of them really is rest, and they heal pretty easily. Mm-hmm. Not to be like a nerd who knows like medical shit, but I think that would definitely. I'm going to clear unmoored from reality because of the rationalization thing. I think it's probably been a weird time up until now for Roderick. He's actually kind of glad that David Embargo's a kind of a little shithead about this whole thing. Because at least it makes sense.
And I am clearing, expecting the worst. Because, hey, we got the kid.
I will say that Dallas gets to clear the voices. I'll just go ahead and clear that for them. I'll let Wes know. That's the only condition they have. Very good. Okay. Yeah, before we go to stars and wishes, we'll kick off the Out of the Woods phase. Next session, I feel like I'll go ahead and introduce the unsolved unseen and just assign prompts to that, just so y'all have the you can think about your answers to them between sessions, and then we'll do some crowns we have on the table, and then we'll go to stars and wishes. Let's do the dog walker. I will highlight this one. I'm not going to read it out loud right now. I'll say that, but for the first prompt, I think this prompt is actually the text is incomplete. I think. Let me just double check it. Is that supposed to say blaze orange vests? Because it just says blaze orange she had for her and Max. So yeah, okay, I'll add vest. I'll give that first prompt to Daniel. Second prompt on the dog walker. We'll go to Chaotic. Third prompt will go to Wes, and that fourth and juicy one will go to B. Yeah, so you'll be able to think about that between sessions. Of we will explore a missing persons case from the pass of the White Mountains. But yeah, all right. Let's see what crowns we have on the table. We have two crowns of the forest between Mike and Hank, and then the collective crown of loneliness that everyone gets to do their own for. Who would like to go first?
Technically speaking, I did my crown of the forest last time.
You did. That's right. Yes.
But I only have the
just the one
rescue specific one. But I'll start with that. I think sort of as Mike is using his little AVT to drive on back with Paul. I think it's a very quiet sort of ride with just the machine. It's just making the revving noises down the road. And Mike is just thinking, about when he was pretty young. Sort of trying to like coming home from school one day, like pulling like the key from like underneath like the fake rock on the stoop, and opening the door and like calling inside to see whether or not his mom is home and whatnot. We just see this like sort of at eye level. Everything looks so big, so tall in the house. He goes to the kitchen table, just takes out like his schoolwork and starts working on it. But there's no one in the house. He's all by himself alone. But that's okay. People will always come back, won't they?
Okay, who's next?
I've got a twofer.
Do oh,
Well,
twofer. Love it.
the mask of loneliness and then my crown. Ooh, where'd it go? My crown that I'm going to do is narrate a scene that shows you planning for the future. Okay. So we see Mike, that was sorry, we see Hank maybe a couple years ago. And he's on a beach. And it's white sands, and he's off season. It's probably like December, and so there's nobody there. It's just Hank sitting on this like folding chair on the beach, looking at the water, and he's in Gulf Shores, Alabama, and in the distance he can see these lights on these oil rigs because it's early in the morning. There's these oil rigs out there, but the sand's white, and he's listening to the waves, and there's nobody there. And he feels really like he's totally alone on this beach, and he likes it. So now we see Hank maybe a few weeks ago or a couple months ago before he fills out his retirement papers, and we see him, and he's in that office, and he pulls out the filing cabinet, this big fat folder, and he starts going through some things. And he's looking at this article from a magazine from the Redneck Riviera. He's looking at this magazine, and he's looking at like property listings in the Florida Panhandle around Pensacola. And we see him like circling some things and getting on the internet and like copying the address, looking at the neighborhood and the crime reports. And as he's plotting his course back to that Gulf Shores, Pensacola area of Florida.
Very nice.
I love that. All right, I guess it's me with
It's
the.
you.
All right, so I've just got the. I haven't done nearly as wild a shit this time, so I don't have any extras other than the one for the whole, for everyone. So I think we see Roderick back in high school senior year, and he already has his whole trajectory planned out. He's gonna go into the military, get out of the military, and has his whole thing. And so he's already getting certifications. He's already working on this, and he wants to get this rock climbing certification. Because he already wants to know he wants to go into the Forest Service eventually and kind of climb up from there because he's always kind of liked the outdoors. And so he's alone outside practicing, and he's gone out into the woods by himself to practice free climbing because, well, you do it the hard version. It's easier in the test. And he gets up about halfway and slips just a little bit, and just enough that he realizes not only how high up he is, but that he is completely and utterly alone out here, and that there is no one else who can save him if he fucks up. And he realizes maybe he doesn't like being alone as much as he thought he did.
All right. Damn, good. Let's do end of session questions, and then we'll go into stars and wishes. So everyone gets a point of experience for resolving a rescue. B, did Roderick admit his wilderness skills are lacking due to a mistake?
I don't think directly he did. No.
Did you talk about one of your many certifications?
No, I didn't.
Alas, alack.
Alas.
And no exposure. No echoes in time will come next session because that'll be part of the
Ooh.
unseen. Chaotic, did you share your insight about the National Forest?
I try to with the map.
I like that. I like that. I like that. Yeah, take it. Did you reluctantly describe something odd you've seen? Oh, reluctantly? No. You
Okay.
very you're, unless you have an argument for it.
Like the closest argument I have for it was like trying to avoid bringing it up with the rest of the group, such as with Sergeant Hank, of like
Oh, I'll
we're
take
not
that. I like,
gonna
yeah.
talk at this about this again.
I like
Yeah,
that. Okay, I'll
I
take that.
agree.
Yep, I agree with that. Because otherwise, you were very loose-lipped about being like, oh, it's the forest, it's eating people.
Yeah, like I mean because like
But
because we were immediately
yes,
being eaten by the forest, like
makes
that's
sense. I like that. So you'll get, wow, three XP. Very nice. All right, Hank, did you deliver a cold-eyed monologue about your hatred for your bureaucracy?
I think I was too heated to be
Hmm.
cold-eyed. I
That'll
think,
come during Out of the Woods, maybe.
yeah, I think he was too angry at the time. So even though I cursed the bureaucratic Dave Embargo, I don't think I,
Did you remind the others that the good old days were better?
No, I think I did that last time.
All right, then no worries. You get at least the free tick from the rescue. Awesome. Let's go to stars and wishes.
I mean, I gotta start stars for Chaotic and Mike just constantly taking a beating. It is so inspiring. I love the vibe. I love the dedication to the horror and the how bad shit is. And you're just like, I'm gonna go again. We're gonna get a little deeper in it. And I love that. And I love Hank's sort of ability to shift from the like horror to like, all right, we're gonna do really practical. All right, how many fingers am I holding up, kid? You know, this sort of like, you see, this is not the first disheveled camper you've seen. And the net.
That
Absolutely. And Alex, oh my God, all of these horrific monsters. The other forest people getting dragged up into the trees behind us. Oh my God, amazing. I'm just excited to hear how this sort of between missions, between rescues is, because that sounds really intriguing.
My God. It's just Devin. Devin. God. Devin is a menace. He should go home. But oh man. I honestly thought like at one point like Devin was like a sort of like a figment of the forest trying to lure people to their deaths. But no, Devin's just like, oh God, I saw this horrific thing because like Mike got eaten by the forest instead of Devin actually being eaten by the forest. It was just nightmare fuel for Mike. Oh man. Sergeant Hank is a very passionate character. He's like, I love my job, but fuck you, Embargo. He ruined my life. Roderick. Oh man, I in the moment I wanted to like avoid like telling Roderick about what's happening, but like I couldn't lie to Roderick's face. Like I felt too bad. But man, Sergeant Hank is not gonna know shit about this because like I don't I because Sergeant Hank messes with my stuff at my desk, and I loved like the sort of the canonicalization over in chat of like, Mike, I'm pretty sure that is a jar of urine on your desk. It's just like that was just a very funny moment, and I took some inspiration from that. Also, Alex, fuck you. I can't believe you killed me on like what effectively was an information move. That was just wild.
Yeah.
I've not seen that from a keeper before.
I'm pretty sure Jason has killed us in Brindlewood Bay when we were looking for clues and rolled misses. Like, in having
he's killed other characters.
Yeah, but who am I going to kill? You are the only characters in the woods. And I also killed Charlotte and Larry, so I mean, I got to target you somewhere. Yeah, no, it's wild. It's dangerous.
Mike is just in danger all the time. And he's going to be haunted by the stairs. I can't believe it. Fuck those stairs.
I'm so happy that I can keep having the stairs show up at just points. Not every, all the ways, but now just when you least expect it, there will be stairs. continue.
I've got some, let me get my stars out. A star for Alex for the Portal of the Game as stairs shenanigans. That was really cool. I've got a star for the whole scene where Roddy and Mike are reunited and they were doing the self-check. Are you good? I'm good. I'm not good. I'm good. And I love the quote, the stairs are getting aggressive. I love that. That's a good quote from Chaotic. Also a star for Alex for David Embargo's first interaction on my 111. So many excuses. You were just coming up with excuses left and right. And those were awesome. A star for Mike's Crown of Loneliness, waiting for someone to come home, I think really tied in a lot of the themes in this game. I've got Roddy's Mad Dash, and it would have been too bad Dallas wasn't here, because it would have been cool seeing Roddy and Dallas both running through the forest. So star there for that, a good recovery. And a wish. My wish is both centered around Mike. One is I do want to see in Alex. I do want to see how those lingering stares, how they get worked in, because it's only Mike. I don't think the rest of us can see that. We won't. It'll be like whatever, Mike. But also, I have my wish is to during this out of the woods phase, I really want to go to like our hangout bar with Mike for like some like decompression, like. Mike, you got to take some time off. You got to like get some R&R. You know, I want to have that next time.
Yeah, God, stars. I echoing what has already been said. I really enjoyed our first interaction with David Embargo through Hank as well on the phone call. I thought up the line, go for Embargo, like last week before session. And I was just very happy to be able to use that. But no, just getting to have Hank. Oh God, just yeah, no, Daniel. That was really funny the way Hank was like, just dealing with David and just talking over him, and then just giving up and being angry. That's a very fun move to see in play, and that was. But fuck, the dice rolls all around today were nasty, nasty. You guys were getting punished. Yeah, Chaotic is a trooper, is a champion for just dealing with so much absolute punishment. Mike was having a terrible time, but also seemed just completely like unfazed, just in the way of just being like, well, the forest is eating me, fuck. It's just like, I gotta, you don't have time to panic when you're on the job. You have to compartmentalize on the job. You have to like deal with it as it comes. And he was very much in it. Like, I love how he got to the river and you were just like, motherfucker. Like, he's like, no, I'm getting my maps. I'm going to approach as like a goddamn ranger for the United States Forest Service. Just out. There's something really funny about like, we're dealing with something supernatural. And it's funny, but also makes sense. Like, we're dealing with something supernatural. I'm doing my job. I'm doing the thing I'm good at. I'm going to mark like trails. So, so good. Really, really enjoyed our first little rescue theory there. What you guys crafted together was very interesting of how you kind of explained all the different little the clues. Because the clues I have found, you know, they can be very... very like disconnected and like scattered, and that you can like form pretty interesting theories off of them, but they usually like are like not as like necessarily like easily connectable in some ways as other games might have their mysteries. They're still like really they're really good launch point though. I really enjoyed that theory. What else? Yeah, I mean, wish wise, I'm looking forward to getting into the Out of the Woods phase to doing some of those scenes, doing the unseen, introducing the next rescue. Yeah, because I'm definitely hoping that we clear some conditions for some other people and before we get into the next thing. Yeah, so we'll see, but I'm looking forward to it. No mountain clues this session. I could have just handed one out. So I will have to be on my game next time. I didn't. I was so engrossed in killing you guys that I forgot to put a mountain clue in there.
Oh, the deer was one. The deer was a mountain clue.
That was last session.
Oh
Yeah, that was last session. Yeah, the not deer was last session. That's fine. All right, cool. Yeah. Any other stars or wishes? No. Then wave goodbye to the camera.